Good morning. Good morning to all of you. It's great to welcome you to Newbury Baptist Church this morning. Thank you for coming. Look forward to worshipping God together. It's a very special year for the Girls Brigade nationally this year. They're 125 years old this year. And if you watch Songs of Praise this afternoon, you will see that they feature Girls Brigade particularly and talk about all that they've done. We've got lots of people here who've been in the Girls Brigade and served Girls Brigade over the years, but I want to highlight one of those people particularly this morning, and it's Kerry Goddard. Kerry joined the Girls Brigade as a girl, went up through all the sections. Over the years, she served Girls Brigade as an officer and a helper and a leader and a confidant and an encourager. And I think especially since Sean took over the role, has really been a confidant and a right-hand woman to her. And we want to recognise that this morning with an award for 40 years service in Girls Brigade. Will you come out, Kerry? Go on. Now that I've embarrassed you already, you know. Sean, you're going to come out.
We have a certificate for you. And in good GB tradition, we also have a badge, which is actually a brooch, which should be in here somewhere. So, here's your certificate.
Oh, lovely, thank you.
Add it here. Like the Oscars. And the award goes to Kerry.
Thank you.
Wonderful, yeah. Bless you, and thank you for all your service, yeah. It's so good, you know, to recognise what people do to serve what goes on here. And 40 years, goodness me, that's quite a record. Thank you, Kerry. Lovely to see Nick and Becky in church this morning. Wedding day is coming up soon, 2nd of August. God bless you both as you get ready for that. Listen to this lovely description of Jesus this morning, whom we come to worship. Philippians 2. Therefore, we read, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Stand up. Just stand together and sing, shall we?
Way too hot. Just bow our heads where we stand, and we'll be as quiet as we can be as we just stand in God's presence. Oh, Father, will you forgive us for the times when we have taken no notice of you this week? Will you forgive us for the times when we've lived as if you were not there? Father, please, please, today, would you reset the compass of our souls? Would you point us back towards you again? Father, will you strike a note in every heart which rings with your presence today, we pray. Lord God, we just ask that you would make yourself known to us in different ways, great and small. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you please sit down? Now, I've got my story box. I've also got a rubbish bin. I don't always keep a rubbish bin in the pulpit. Some of you might think I should, but there's that. So I need that. I also need my story box. Let's get that, see what's inside it. Let's have a look and see. I don't know why I'm sitting down. I'm going to have to stand up again in a minute, but never mind. Okay.
Paper.
There's a pair of scissors. I'm going to take those because I'll need those in a minute. Do you think it's a little bit of paper or a big bit?
Big.
You think it's a big bit? Let's see. Well, that's quite small, isn't it? That's a bit bigger. That's a bit bigger. That's a bit bigger still. Can you see there's a word written on it? Oh, 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 my goodness. Can you see what that says? It says worry. Let's hold it up. Let's get some people to help me hold up. So can we get some people up that end, please? And some people up this end. There we go. That's a whole lot of worry, isn't it? That's quite a big bit of worry, really, there. Now, you guys down here, you're in charge of the rubbish bin, all right? I'm going to give you some rubbish to put in it in a minute. Now, I can't remember whether I've told you this before. If I have, I'm telling it to you again because it's really important. And if I haven't, I will tell it to you again because it's really, really important. You see, we all worry a lot. And I heard a few years ago a really good bit of advice about worrying. Can you just come out from under there so that I don't snip you when I snip the paper? Brilliant. So, this is from an old Irish priest. And he said, look, if you're going to worry, there's only two things to worry about. There's today and there's tomorrow. And tomorrow hasn't happened yet, so there's no point worrying about that. So my rubbish team over there, can you take that and put it in the bin, please? Scrumple it up. Okay, so now we've only got today to worry about. And he says, if you're going to worry about today, there's only two things to worry about, whether you're well or whether you're ill. And he says, if you're well, mind your fingers, you've got nothing to worry about. So we'll take that away. Can you put that in the bin for me? And he says, if you're ill, you've only got two things to worry about, whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. And if you're going to live, you've got nothing to worry about. So we'll take that and we'll put that in the bin as well. And he says, if you're going to die, you've only got two things to worry about, whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. And he says, if you're going to go to heaven, you've got nothing to worry about. So let's have that peace. So look, from that huge, huge, huge piece of worry, I've got a little bit of worry now that is perfectly small enough for me to tuck it away and carry it close to my heart and let God worry about it. Doesn't matter how huge it is when it starts, there's really just a small little bit that God can deal with. And I'll leave that with him to worry about. So whatever you're worrying about this week, if it seems absolutely ginormous like that piece of paper, actually, no, it's not that big, because you can give it to God and he can help you carry it and he can worry about it instead of you. Andy, what are we going to sing?
We're going to sing Blessed Be Your Name. Let's stand together, shall we?
Down. If you're going out to different groups, perhaps you'd like to make your way there now. Let's see the words of this next hymn, if we could, Paul, on the screen. Thank you. I came to faith as a teenager, as a 16-year-old, and the church where I came to faith in Tilehurst, actually just down the road, this hymn was very popular, and it was a pledge really to say to the Lord, look, I want to go your way and I want to walk with you and I want to do the right thing, as hard as that might sometimes be. And it's always been a sort of anthem coming up at different times during my life, I suppose. And it's a pledge to God saying, look, I want to walk with you. I want to put my hand in yours and go with you wherever you're going. Let's stand up and sing it together.
What can I give?
please sit down. Except for you, Dave 40. Come and join me. Sorry, I was expecting this. I'm not going to pick randomly on a person every week. Dave knew this was going to happen. Hi, Dave. Tell us where you're off to in October.
So I'm going to Campo Largo in Brazil.
What are you actually going to do when you get there?
So I'm going as part of a mission trip to build houses for folk who are in favelas, just to get them out of the favelas and give them a better way of life.
Now, some people who know you better will probably know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it for those who don't. What made you in particular think it was worth you going?
Okay, so I'm a carpenter, so I like building stuff anyway. But I've always had a passion for mission, although I haven't been on a trip for some time. I got speaking with a guy from the charity I'm going with, Mission Direct, at last year's gathering. And he said, yeah, you should just contact them and say you're a carpenter and see if they can use you, which is what I did. And they said, yeah, great, come along.
So, little honesty check now. What are you really, first of all, what are you really looking forward to about going?
I've never been to Brazil, so that'll be interesting. I love working with folk from other places. It's just always a fantastic trip when you meet people from other cultures. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the whole thing, really.
This bit's probably a bit more of an honesty check. What are you really not looking forward to about going?
Not much, really.
I was hoping you were going to say, like, spiders or something.
Maybe the heat. Right. The heat, although these last few weeks has probably prepared me a little for that. So.
Yeah, I'm guessing heat and manual labour isn't a great combination, is it?
No, it's not, no.
How can we help? And obviously, it's great to hear about it. What could we actually do to help you?
First and foremost is prayer. If you could pray for myself and my team, who I've not met yet, but safety for all of us, and that we actually manage to do something that helps everyone. I've also set up a donate page, so the whole team is self-funded. We all pay for ourselves to go out, but we're raising money for building materials. So there is a donate page you could go to, which is on the notice sheet, yeah. And if you want to come and see me afterwards, I can give you the address for that as well.
And I'm guessing the buying power we've got here for building materials there is quite good, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I believe so, yes. Yeah.
So we could make quite a difference with that. Maybe just one more question. If standing here now, and I know it's October, you're looking forward to it, what's the one thing right now you'd like us to pray for you?
Just guidance and a safe trip out there, that we do what we can to help those out there.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pray for Dave in a minute. When we do, I'm going to ask you to stand up, because I want him, when he gets off the plane, to be able to shut his eyes and see all of you standing up praying for him. I want him to remember that. So come on, let's stand up, and we're going to pray for him now. Father, we thank you for Dave. Thank you for putting him in the right conversation with the right person at the right time. And we pray, Father, that as he travels to Brazil, taking these great skills of his with him, that you would make him a tremendous blessing. Father, will you keep all of the team safe? We need to enable them to make a huge, practical, long-lasting difference to lots of people's lives. Father, we pray the team would gel quickly together. And it is our prayer, Father, that you would make Dave a huge blessing to everyone that he meets. Keep him safe, keep him strong, and bring him back, Father, with stories of what you have done through him as you've given him strength every single day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
As we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong
you do not fail.
God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you want your weary.
Father, for every time that you've provided strength when we have been weak, for every promise that you've fulfilled for one that we have broken, for all your goodness, we thank you. And now we ask you to take these gifts and make them grow in the service of the kingdom. Amen. Thanks, Dave. Do you please sit down? I'm going to ask Roger to come and read to us now. Thank you.
This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, commencing at verse 25, this section entitled, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you, Roger. Most of you will know that I was born and brought up in Reading, or just outside of Reading. And there used to be an old church on the Oxford Road, one of those big old sort of blackened Victorian churches. And it had what I call a shouty poster and what they would call a wayside pulpit outside. You know, the kind of thing, you know, day glow writing, repent or burn, you know, encouraging messages like that. Here was one of them that I remember seeing on there on one occasion. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Well, some of us know just how that feels, don't we? You know, there's a whole bunch of new stuff to worry about when you're a Christian. You know, do I pray enough? Did I really mean it when I prayed? Do I read my Bible enough? Have I really forgiven that person? Do those other people in church really know what I get up to? There's a whole list of them. But leaving on side, one side those Christian worries for a minute. When Jesus says here, do not worry, what's he really saying? What is the heart of it? It's definitely not that shouty poster, I don't think. The most important word in the whole reading was the first one that Roger read out to us. If you've got it open in front of you, have a look at it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, In other words, in the light of everything I've already been saying, in the light particularly of what we were saying last week about holding treasure in the right place and not the wrong place, in the light of the warning we heard last week about not treasuring the rubbish and not rubbishing the treasure, in the light of all of that, says Jesus, you should not worry so much about temporary things. Easy for you to say, Jesus, but help us out here. And he does, of course. And he says, look, let me give you a basis. Let me give you a reason for not worrying so much. And he says, first of all, remember the character of God. Remember how he feels about you. This is a lesson he was going to have to repeat just a little bit later on in the gospel when he and the disciples were out on a stormy sea and he was asleep in the boat. You all know the story. You've probably told it to children. And the waves are crashing and the boat is pitching up and down. And as he comes to, waking up, what he hears is the disciples arguing about whether or not he cares that they should drown. See, they didn't know his character well enough. All the way through the Bible, from the moment when God took a clay doll shaped like a man and breathed life into it and called it Adam and set him up walking on planet Earth, all the way through, God has been constantly showing how much he cares about us. I love some of the tiny details in the early parts of the Old Testament. Like the fact, have you ever noticed it? That when he drives Adam and Eve out of the garden, he makes clothes for them. Isn't that incredible? God doing the tailoring for these two naughty children who are being ushered out of the garden anyway. We read that God makes the clothes for them. And when all of that goes wrong, and then when they're ushered onto the ark, again, pick up the little half sentence, and God shut the door behind them. All the way through these little moments where he's showing how much he cares and the fact that he ensures that even in the very darkest days, there's always a small nightlight, a prophetic voice left burning in the window. And think about the way that he talks about his people. And there's a whole list of these. I just picked out some of them. My precious treasure, my chosen people, the sheep of my pasture. In my study at the back there, I have my first ever Bible that I was given as a Christian. It was a Crusader Bible. If any of you remember the Crusaders, if you stayed for 52 weeks, you got a Bible. So I stayed long enough to get a Bible. It's a battered and bashed old Good News Bible. And I think the first verse I ever outlined in it or highlighted in it was this from Zephaniah 3 and verse 17. Incredible picture. It says, of God, he will rejoice over you with singing. Not the other way around. He, with a whole universe to care about, will rejoice over you and you and you with his singing. Do you remember the children's talk last week? Remember he talking to them about the precious pearl and saying that God is the one finding the treasure and that you are it. God is the pearl fisherman diving and finding that precious pearl for which he'll give everything. And that precious pearl is you. That is the character of God towards us. So when Jesus says, do not worry, he says, and you shouldn't need to, if you could get a hold in your hearts and minds of the character of God towards you. You know, though we are constantly on every side now being quite rightly urged to cherish the planet on which we live, although we're being told by everybody from David Attenborough onwards that we should cherish these dwindling number of species that live upon it, and I do support that, but we do need some perspective here. Humankind, you and me, are the jewel in the crown of creation. We sit at the very top of it. And the reason for that is quite simply because God said so. God, who made all of it, says, out of it all, you funny creatures, you double-minded people, you weak-minute, one-minute, strong one-minute creatures are the ones that I love the most. And Jesus, trying to get this across to people, he talks about the birds, and he says, verse 26, you know, look at them, they're provided for. Are you not much more valuable than they? Or he looks at the flowers in all their effortless beauty and the exotic look of them, and he says, verse 30, God pays more attention to you than he does to them. Friends, sometimes evangelicals, people like us, have been so busy stressing that we need saving from sin that we have failed to point out why God might want to do that in the first place. And the reason he wants to do it is because he made us and he loves humankind more than anything else that he's ever created. Jesus says, if I'm going to help you not to worry, then you need to be remembering the character of God, that you are his little lamb, that you are his precious one, that you are his set-aside treasure. If you could get a hold of that, it would help you so much. Now, let's do something that we don't do in British churches, and it's going to be all kinds of awkward, but just, you know, go with it together. Turn around and, for a moment, look at each other. Now listen to this. There is not a single person upon whom your eyes fell just now who is worth anything less than the most precious thing that God can give. Everybody you just looked at is worth the whole hoard of God's treasure that he would hand over to say, I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one. Remember, so if you're not going to worry, says Jesus, first of all then, remember the character of God. And then he says, look at the provision of God. You know, this is perhaps where we come back to the created order. The harder we look at the created world, the more wonderful, rather than the less wonderful, it becomes. One of the pillars of atheist communism in years gone by was that science disproved God. But the further and further and further you go into scientific research, the more wonderful all this stuff around about us becomes. When biology breaks down to the level where it becomes chemistry, and where chemistry breaks down to the point where it becomes pure mathematics, there is an elegance to the design of the simplest thing which speaks of the provision of God. And we're only just now understanding these things or beginning to. Like a mother who understands the weather forecast, which her child could not possibly do, and sends that child out with a coat. So God has provided things for the natural world long before we could even begin to understand the need of them. I don't know if you've ever been to Gilbert White's house in Hampshire, in Selborne. It's an absolute little gem of English countryside. And this 18th century curate wrote this natural history of the world all about him. Don't know how he had any time for doing anything churchy, because it's all very, very detailed. And at the time, he was just observing it. No microscopes, no deep understanding like we might have now. But of course, as time has gone on, as we leave Gilbert White in the 18th century behind, and we go on to the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st century, so with, as it were, every time we turn up the magnification on the microscope, every time we do that, the wonder of the created order becomes greater and greater. Greater and greater. And look at what Jesus says about the birds here. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away. You look at one of these nature programs at how perfectly adapted birds are to their environment. Everything from the shape of the bill to the way the feathers are set to the colours upon them. And of course, every attempt to emulate the elegance of their flight has ended up clunky by comparison. Jesus says, look, if you're not going to worry, remember the character of God, but also look at the provision of God. Look at what he's provided for the world all around about him. And he talks about the flowers, verse 28, in this kind of effortless beauty of theirs. And again, the further you turn up the magnification, the more wonderful all of that becomes. I'm no botanist, but goodness, some of the stuff there. Palm trees. You ever notice when you see videos of very often of the tsunamis coming in, the palm trees do this, and then as soon as the wave has gone, they ping back up again? Every cell inside a palm tree is bendy. Every cell, so that the whole thing can bend and actually flip back up again. This picture on the screen here is the top of an olive leaf. On an olive tree, there are hundreds of thousands of little upside-down umbrellas. And they've been put there to catch every tiniest drop of moisture, so that in an arid climate, that tree can survive. You know, when Jesus says, as it comes out in the King James Version, verse 28, consider the lily. You know, this is not some rather fey thing so that we should all try and emulate them. He's saying, consider them in order that we might be inspired by God's provision for them. You know, Jesus is not just trotting out this trite phrase of saying, don't worry. He says, don't worry about these temporary things. Why? Because you know the character of God and you know how he feels about you. Don't worry, he says, because you can see the provision of God for everything from the tiny microbe through to the enormous plants and trees. He says, don't worry, because you know his character and you have seen his provision. So, he says, keep your focus. And the focus, he says, to keep is not on the church, but on the kingdom. Verse 33, he says there, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If you're not going to worry, he says, get a hold of the character of God, look at the provision of God, and then be focused on the right things. And the right thing, he says, is the kingdom of God. He's been saying this all the way through this little series we've had through the Beatitudes. The first week, he was saying the kingdom affects the way that we see ourselves and the way we see others and the way we see God. The kingdom, second week, he said, affects the way that we pray. The kingdom, in the third week, he says, affects what we treasure and how much we treasure. It. And of course, there are huge differences between church and kingdom. This is a whole sermon series on its own, but let me just trip through a few of them with you. You know, the kingdom lasts forever. The church is just here for the time being. The kingdom is invisible. You know, lots of Jesus' parables about the kingdom talk about it being there under our noses and we can't see it. The church, by its very nature, has to be visible. The kingdom is a gateway. It's an invitation. It's saying, come on into the presence of God. Sadly, quite often, the church is a gatehouse, saying, well, you're not coming in here dressed like that, or similar. The kingdom is untidy. It's got all sorts of people with loose ends in their lives and are not necessarily quite looking like Jesus yet. The church likes to be tidy. We like things organized. We like to know what's coming next and how things will be done. The kingdom is borderless. It stretches across countries and it stretches across generations. The church is restricted. Certain people come to this church and certain people go to another church and certain people don't go to any of them. It's much more restricted. There is a difference between the two. But Jesus says, if you're not going to worry, get a hold of the character of God and look at the provision of God and have the right focus, which is a focus on kingdom, not church. Friends, from the second we say yes to Jesus, we are kingdom creatures. We're sold out to its values. We're captivated by its promise. We're strengthened by its hope. We are drawn by its call. From the second we start on that journey, the station we got on at means far less than the one that we are traveling to. Our bags are light enough so that we can travel without being encumbered. We stick with it because we want to get there, and we will not bail out. Because God does not bail out on us. And another thing too, if our focus is on kingdom, not church, then our greatest triumphs, triumphs that are so big that they rock heaven itself to the core, our greatest triumphs are those times when by word or deed or character we introduce someone new to the King. And they step into the kingdom. And they too are on that journey forever. So you know, when Jesus says, verse 24, do not worry about tomorrow, I think he's saying you should maybe worry a bit more about the day after tomorrow for your friends and your loved ones who stand outside the kingdom just now. You know, years ago, I met a very powerful guy called Matt. Matt was at the very, very top of his industry. He was in IT and very wealthy, very powerful, had all the toys to go with it, you know, the Bentley and the Ray-Bans and everything else that went with it. He enjoyed all of that kind of lifestyle. His father had been in advertising and very successful at that. And he loved that little story I did this morning, you know, the little story of the worry thing. Absolutely loved that. Loved it so much, he went home and told his mum all about it and started bringing her to church. Loved it so much that he went home, went into the office and told all his friends about it. And so on the day when he got married, all his friends from very high up in the IT industry all came into church. Matt absolutely loved this story. And then he started discipleship classes and couldn't quite fit them in. I never saw them through. And then he started coming to church, and then Sundays were just too busy and he couldn't quite manage it. And in the end, he just disappeared off the horizon. You see, in the end, he was worried too much about the wrong things and not enough about the right ones. Jesus says, I don't want you to worry. Get hold of the character of God and see the provision of God and focus on the right things. And then, for God's sake, for heaven's sake, don't worry about the wrong things. And do worry about the right ones. And verse 33, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And therein lies wealth and wisdom, I think. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great compassion towards us. Thank you for your incredible provision for the world all around about us. Thank you, Father, for the kingdom that makes our hearts beat that little bit quicker. Help us, Father, not to worry about the wrong things, but maybe to worry about the right ones, we pray. Amen. This I know, says the chorus of this hymn. We're going to stand up and sing together, I Cannot Tell.
Oh,
Friends, let's close with the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.